My name is Jack Perry. I was born in Wakefield in 1936. I passed my 11 plus and went to on a scholarship to Wakefield Grammar School. I was very interested in buses because I lived in Belle Isle Avenue at Wakefield, where the bus depot was at the end of the street. And every time I went out, I nosed into it, basically. And when I went for a job at the school, the man said to me, what do you want to do? And I said, basically, I don't know really what I want to do. And he said, OK, what are you interested in? And I said, I'm interested in buses. He looked in his book under T for transport and said, there's this one on the railway, how about that? And I said, yes, that will do, very nice. I went down to the railway officers in the morning of the following day in 122 Westgate Wakefield, where the district office was. I was given a pass to go to Leeds for a medical. I came back on the Friday afternoon and they said to me, OK, you've passed your exam, you've passed your medical, you start on Monday. And I started on Monday at Healy Mills Marshalling Yard, between Wakefield and Murfield.
How old were you then?
I was 16.
Did you have any interest in trains at all?
Not really, no. The clerk at Healy Mills was a lad called Fred Inman, and he'd been in the Royal Navy. And one of the things that sticks in my mind about that was that on Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, he used to take all the chairs, stick them on the top of the tables and everything, and swill the decks. But Fred told me certain basic clerical things, which I was still applying just before I retired. He was an extremely good teacher.
What was it like then? We're talking about 1952
here. 52, yes.
What was it like going to work? Were you excited about it or apprehensive or what?
Yes. I mean, I'll tell you about the train that I went to work on. The actual loco was built in 1913. The coaches were built in 1898. They were flat-topped coaches, compartments. And, I mean, really, it was an antique. And until they sort of got rid of those and the diesels came along. You know, it was a job and that was it. I just went to work.
And what was your first job at Healy Mills? What did you have to
do?
Well,
I was a trainee, basically. I did pay and I did staff rostering. And I was only there 6 weeks. And then I was shifted to the station master's office at Wakefield Kirgit, which was relatively near home, of course. And I did the pay there. And then eventually, again, before I went in the Air Force, I was moved over to 122 Westgate into the freight trains office.
What were the railway people like, and what was the railway like itself in 1952, 1953?
It was a case of a lot of people coming and going. Wakefield Kirgit would have at least two leave and two new ones every week. It was coming and going all the time. And until you got a shortage of jobs, that's what used to happen.
And what was business like, passengers and freight?
Oh, it was quite good, actually. Kirgit was quite good. It had a lot of trains, and it was quite good. The service was good. Then the Queen sent me a letter and invited me to join the Air Force, you see. So I tootled off to the Air Force. I was in a 609 squadron, which is an auxiliary squadron at Church Fenton, which was quite handy.
And did you get sent abroad?
I didn't get sent abroad. It was an auxiliary squadron, and they used to do fortnights. And I got a fortnight in Malta, a fortnight in Germany, and it was a case of a fortnight at a time when you went for your training course, you see.
And what was your job in the RAF?
I was a clerk accounts. Actually, I was a junior technician, which was clerk accountant, which was a bit more money. No disciplinary powers of any sort. One stripe upside down, you see. And I used to go down to Church Fenton signal box, and I could work Church Fenton signal box on my own. Basically, the motivation was to try and improve myself. you see. And, I mean, I told the flight sergeant in the RAF that I would be back with the station master's cap on. And I did. I went back with and down, and I had more gold braid on my cap than the station commander did, which is rather funny.
But, so even before you went in the RAF, you'd got an ambition to rise up the railway career ladder.
Basically, yes. That was basically all it was. It was a case of money as much as anything. The further up the tree you were, the more money you got, and it was simple as that. Can I just go back to the circuit telephone?
Yeah.
Because I went back into the office after I'd been in the signal box at various places. I went back into the office and I listened on the circuit telephone, and of course they were all talking, you see. And the gist of the conversation was, watch that lad there, he might look young, but he knows what he's doing, right? So I got my reputation by literally doing the job in the signal box, which I'd taught it myself, basically.
Right? So what was it? What can you remember about the trains that went through Church Fenton when you were there?
The trains, it was rather strange, because there was two lines. There was it was a junction box. One went from York to Normanton, and the other went from York to Leeds. But Church Fenton signal box only controlled three of the four lines. There was the far line from Leeds to York. Church Fenton didn't have anything to do with it. And it was a bit off-putting, actually, because a train would suddenly appear and you didn't know anything about it. And you said, well, what was that? And, I mean, it took some getting used to, did that, actually, to suddenly find a train zooming past the signal box that you didn't know anything about.
And what was the reaction of the signalman when you turned up in your RAF uniform and said, yeah, I want to come and...
Well, I had a letter from the boss man at York, saying that I had permission to go into the signal box.
So you were in the RAF for 2 years. What did you do after that?
When I came out, I went back to the freight trains office at 122 Westgate, but not for very long, of course, you see, because I came out when I was 20, and by the time I got the first interview for a station master job, I was 20 and 6 months. So it was very relatively short period of time. I applied for the station master at Bramley, which was a class 4 station, and there was two applicants for the job. I was told that I was too young to do the job, and they gave it to the other one. Come 20 and 10 months, which was 4 months later, I applied for a class 3 station master's summer relief station master's job at Leeds, and they had the cheek on the first day that I got that job to send me to Bramley. When I got there, there was one of the other Leeds relief station masters there. So I said to him, what's going on? It seems a bit overstaffed. And he said, yes. He said, the other bloke that got the job when you didn't has been chucked out of the job. And I'm here to do the ordinary station master's job. And you're here to clear up the mess. So I said, oh, right. So I went up to the drawer where I said, oh, it's locked. He says, no, it's not. Pull a bit harder. And I pulled, and the paperwork just went boom and shot up at it. Somebody squashed it down into the drawer, and it felt as if it was locked, but it wasn't, of course. And I spent about 2 or 3 weeks walking around Bramley doing claims and all sorts of other things that this bloke hadn't done.
Explain how the railway grading structure worked and how it was possible for you to so quickly become a station master.
It was only purely and simply by passing the necessary exams. I had a day and a half oral exam with an inspector, and we started off at 8:30 on one day, finished at 5 o'clock, and started at 8:30 the following day and finished at dinner time.
And what were the questions about?
Everything. Signalling, what the bell signals were, things like parcels, fish, fruit or sliced stock, meat, milk, pigeon or perishable train composed entirely of stock conforming to coaching stock requirements 131. That's a long time since, is that? But those were the sort of things, light engine 2-3, and all the necessary bell signals and things like that. And then, of course, it was things like stop and examine and regulation 5, all the other railway rules.
And what was the reaction of other staff that you were trying to become what, in effect, was a senior job, yeah, so young?
Yeah, nothing really. Nobody ever passed any comment about it at all.
They weren't resentful of you trying to do that?
No, not really, no. In fact, I never had any sort of aggro from anybody, really, at all. Very good.
And so when you got that job then as the Leeds Relief Station Master?
Summer Relief Station Master.
Summer Relief. Yes. Were you one of the youngest in the country to ever do that?
Yes. Then, of course, it came to September, and, of course, you went back down again. But what they did then was they made me a relief clerk, which meant that when you were a relief station master, you got what they called an aggregation allowance, and it was 10% of your salary, and that was for travelling time. So you could score or not. If you were at home station, you got your travelling time even though you weren't travelling. If you were at Pickburn and Brodsworth, which is practically down at Doncaster, you didn't win, you see. So it was just a fixed amount, 10% of your salary for your travelling time. When you were a relief clerk, you got actual travelling time, see. So I used to go from A to B, put your timesheet in with your actual travelling time and your dinner money and what have you. And if you were at home station, you didn't get your dinner money.
So can you remember how much those amounts were? How much a week were you taking home then in the mid-50s?
The wage that I would have got if I'd have been a clerk was round about £5. The wage that I got as a Class 3 relief station master was over 15. It was three times more, actually. So I was pretty, you know, well paid, really, at the time, compared to what I would have been if I hadn't tried to improve myself.
So how did you progress then? What was the sequence of events after that?
Well, then, of course, I went to station master at Criggleston temporary. Now, while I was at Criggleston, it was in dead man's boots. Because what had happened was the previous station master there had told the porter to go and see to the shunt while he looked after the passenger train. And the porter made no more to do, put his hand down on the edge of the platform, jumped, and the train buffeted him in the face and killed him, right? The station master couldn't stand the sight of the place. He went for the stretcher and it was not in very good condition. And everything went wrong, and he left. He couldn't stand it at all. So I went there, basically in dead men's boots. And in the time that I was there, in the first 3 months I was there, we had a burglary in the booking office, a bloke who broke into the booking office and scattered tickets all over, pinched the princely sum of £2.12.9 out of the till, and 45 wagons of coal ran away down the siding and 8 went into a field, which I've got photographs of. And a bloke threw himself in front of the train I was going to work on and chopped his head off at Horbury Millfield Road, which wasn't even my patch. I was going to Criggleston on the train. The guard knew I was on the train and he took me off the train and said, you know, we've got a bit of a problem. So I rang up the station master, who hadn't been there very long, and he hadn't even got his uniform, and they call him Brian Shaw. And Brian Shaw and I are still mates now. We send one another Christmas cards, and we're still mates now. He said to me not very long ago, he said, "Jack, do you remember what you said to me when you rang me up to tell me what was going on?" I said, "No, I haven't got a clue." He said, "What did I say?" He said, "Brian, I've just come on the train, 8:20-something from Wakefield," and he says, "You've got a stiff." And he said, "Oh, right." So I just handed it over to him then and carried on to, you know, to work. That was what you call the initiation ceremony.
So it was a baptism of fire then?
Baptism of fire, yes.
The station master was the most senior person for any particular stretch of line, wasn't he?
Yes. That's right.
So he was more important than the signalman, he was more important than a driver.
He used to supervise everybody, basically. I mean, at Criggleston, for example, the station that I was actually at was Criggleston West, which was on the line between Wakefield, Kirgit and Barnsley Exchange. The other line was Criggleston East, which was between Thornhill Midland Junction and Royston Junction. And the one funny thing about that particular line was that they had, you've got what you call special instructions. and they had permission to propel trainload of empty wagons from Royston Junction down to Cricklestone Junction. And it used to come flying down there, loose coupled. And every time that train came down there, I used to shut my eyes because I expected it to go up in the air any time, any minute sort of thing, but it never did, fortunately. But those two lines were parallel to one another. It wasn't like Woodlesford was, where you were all the way along one line. It was two totally separate lines, Cricklestone West and Cricklestone East, and I was in charge of both of them. And I wanted a table moving from one to the other. And one of the porters had been a milkman, and he had a horse and cart. So I said, you know, we want this table shifting from Crig East to Crig West. He said, right, I'll go get the horse and cart. And we went over and we picked this table up, and we were clip-clop through Cricklestone with this table on the back. And it was the only way you could do it, because it wasn't even, you know, on the same line.
But what I still don't quite understand, given your age, you're 21 by now, yes. And you were working with men who were much older than you, and yes. You were working with men who'd served in the war.
Yes.
Why there wasn't a lot of resentment against somebody like you, who was much younger than them, telling them what to do?
The only way that you could actually do it was, like I said, was to actually go in the signal box, take your coat off, and prove that you can do the job, right? I mean, we used to load outcrop coal from British Oak at Cricklestone, and they used to bring 40 empties, and sometimes in among the mineral wagons there would be what they called high goods wagons, which were really not coal wagons at all. So we used to knock those out, and you could gravitate them down six at a time. That's why they ran away, because the bloke tried to bring 45 down. But the six at the time was what I used to bring down. But I could shunt with a shunt pole with the best of them. I could, you know, ping the coupling off and put it back on again. And the only way that you actually didn't get any aggro was because you could do the job.
And shunting those wagons are the heavy things, aren't they?
Oh, yes. I used to have to had a brake stick, and you used to have to pin the brakes down and stop them ending up in the field. So but you could stop six, but you couldn't stop 45.
So because you learned how to do things, you got a lot of respect from them.
Yeah, basically, yes.
So what happened after Cricklestone?
I was taken out of Cricklestone because they had another redundant station master, and he didn't want to come there either, but they made him come, and of course they took me back, and I went back down to 122 Westgate again. And then come, where are we now, 1958-59, I got the same job again, summer relief station master at Leeds. And then of course Woodlesford station booking clerk class 3, which was a new job. The traffic at Woodlesford was going up leaps and bounds. The power station was a million tonne of coal a year. The parcels were going up. They were building new houses. The passengers were going up. So they decided they needed a chief clerk. So I got the opportunity then to avoid crashing down from a reasonable wage of the relief station master class 3 to a class 4 clerk, which was a big drop. So I applied for Woodlesford, which meant that if I got taken off that job, I'd only came down to a class 3 clerk, which was self-preservation, really. I suppose that's the word.
Can you remember doing the interview for Woodlesford?
Yes, I can.
What
yes.
did they ask you about?
They asked me about pigeons. They asked me about coal. In fact, more or less just everything that I'd been doing. And it didn't cause me any problem at all, really. So I got the job.